I feel like in many ways this next session is setting me up for failure because I wrote a 300-page book answering the question that's supposed to be dealt with in 50 minutes. And even with trying to explain over 300 pages, it still made a lot of people upset with me. And so there's no way I'm going to be able to answer every single question every single one of you has about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. I'm going to give an overview of the approach. And actually, the book that came out is dealing with 40 different questions. The first half is positively dealing with really marriage counseling, you know, how to choose who to get married. Are you ready to get married? What is marriage about? And it's positive. And then the second half is dealing with the hard questions of separation, divorce, and remarriage. One of the books out there is a favorite book of mine for many years by Jay Adams with a very similar title. It's actually, Jay lives not that far from me. He's about to turn 90 years old. And I went to see him, I go to see him now and then. And we were talking and I was saying, yeah, Jay, the Lord has given you a pretty thick skin to be able to deal with all the attacks and the criticism. He said, yeah, I've got a thick skin. People even take my title and I don't get too upset about it. So he was very gracious about that. Because mine has critical questions and answers. It's a little bit different, the title. And I wanted to explain briefly why this book, in my mind, this part of the book became necessary, is that when Jay wrote over, I think, 30 years ago, he wrote Marriage, Divorce, and Remarriage, the Bible hasn't changed since then. I think the answers he gave were very good. But there have been two significant developments among Christians in the last 30 years that were not as evident in Jay's day, and they're on two extremes. There's a guy named David Enstone Brewer who's been quite popular, and he's done some writing on divorce, and he bases a lot of it on his study of kind of the practices in Israel and the ancient Near East at that time. And the conclusion he is drawing is essentially any violation of the marriage covenant is grounds for divorce, which is, and it's John Piper's response is, then we could all be divorced because, you know, he's opening the door wider. And I've seen cases where, in counseling, where it's usually been women who often they're married to a guy they think is a loser. He's not committing adultery. He's not abusive. He's not abandoning the marriage. She married the wrong guy is the way she feels about it. And so I've seen Enstone Brewer's arguments kind of used as saying, well, because this guy isn't in a Christ-like way fulfilling the marriage covenant, you can get rid of him. And of course, that's what people want. And I think that's part of what people were talking with Jesus about in Matthew 19. Can I divorce my wife for any reason? That's on one extreme, which is opening the door, in my opinion, too wide. There's always been people saying that, but Brewer's coming from the standpoint of scholarship. I think a bit of a problem with it too is that he's basing it upon cultural practice then, where I would want to, the scriptures are my basis. Cultural practice sometimes sheds light on the scriptures, but it doesn't define the meaning of scripture. The other end has been well-known people like John Piper, and there have been others like Jim Elliff, some of you may have heard of him, that have taken and popularized what's called the permanence view. The permanence view would say that you cannot divorce for any reason, and you can never remarry if you had been divorced. The only way you can be remarried is if the person dies. So if this one is opening it up wide, this one is closing the door altogether. And Jay did not interact with serious proponents of the permanence view. He kind of says, that's ridiculous. because this is what it says. And so part of what I tried to do in the book is address, and you'll hear people say, well, you're still married. These people, even if they're divorced, they're still married in God's eyes, will be an expression you'll hear. And I try to show biblically, like, let's take the permanence view. I've studied carefully what their arguments are, what they're thinking. Try to say, well, here's why they believe this. These are real Christians who have serious arguments they're making, and I want to treat it in a way that they would say is fair and kind. But then here's why I don't think the argument fully wins the day. And likewise, here's where Ernst & Broer is coming from. Here are some of the problems I see with that biblically. But engaging with it seriously, and especially in the case of the permanence view people, to do it in a kind way that I appreciate that they want to defend marriage. But again, also here's why I don't think their arguments are decisive. This is a big issue. I mean, we all hear statistics about, you know, about half of all marriages in the world or in our country end in divorce. And actually, some of those statistics are being skewed now because so many people aren't even bothering to get married. And you have kind of what they used to call common law marriages or, you know, long-term relationships that break up as well. A lot of that happens. But the thing that has shocked me in the last 20 or so years has been how much divorce there is in the church. And even in our church in San Diego had 250, 300 people. And I was just, I've been shocked and saddened by, out of a church of that size, how many divorces, near divorces, or desired divorces there have been over the 26 years that I was there. And even now, keeping up with those people, there have been more cases. And it grieves me to see this happening. Even if there are biblical grounds in some of these cases, it is heartbreaking. And I think, you know, what Jesus is describing, you know, in the situation in Matthew 19, which is the most extensive treatment in the New Testament, where you had among the covenant community in the Old Covenant of the Jews different viewpoints and some people saying, you know, divorce for any reason. It is very, very sad how many wrongful or how many divorces are, how many marriages are failing for all kinds of reasons. Every divorce is a failure. Every divorce is very, very sad, even if there may be an innocent party who had a right to get out. It's also, from the standpoint of writing a book or teaching a seminar, you are walking through a minefield in terms of Christians feel very passionately on various sides of the issue. People have gone through things or know people who are going through things, and so people feel very strongly. And actually, in the book, as it came out, I'm summarizing so we get to one of the toughest questions was, does physical abuse or does abuse ever constitute grounds for divorce? And I make an argument, which John Street from Masters University also makes in one of his books, that an extreme case of abuse can, after a time, be constituted as an abandonment by an unbeliever. Certainly the person has a right to be safe. And I thought when I wrote that I would be making people angry for opening the door to that. But instead, I have been lambasted on the internet for not opening it wider. There's a, kind of along with the Me Too thing, there's kind of a Christianized Me Too movement right now that if there's any hint of mistreatment, they want divorce very quickly. And they're very angry at me for saying if there is abuse, you should make every effort to try to save the marriage. That may mean getting the wife out and getting her safe, assuming it's the wife being abused, which it is 90% of the time, but hoping to safely get them back together. There are a lot of people right now, well, I would say in fairness, there are cases where the church has failed to protect women who are being abused by saying if you were just more submissive, he would be kind. And there are some who are just flat out evil and no amount of kindness will change them. 1 Peter 3 says to win him without a word by your behavior. It doesn't say that's always going to happen. There are some men when the behavior is good who will just use that to abuse all the more. And so I think there are cases where churches have failed to protect women. And then that's created an overreaction where men are bad, churches are bad, and anybody who's been mistreated should divorce, and it's gone too far the other way. Pendulums keep swinging among Christians. I could do a whole talk on all the pendulums we deal with. But positively, God designed marriage to be a lifelong covenant of companionship. And I'm just going to read Matthew 19 as foundation. Verse 3, some Pharisees came to Jesus testing him and asking, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason at all? And Jesus answered and said, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. They said to him, "Why then did Moses command to give her a certificate of divorce and send her?"